In the name of God, who calls us out of the tree and into the world. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Episcopal Cathedral on this third Sunday of preaching on the five marks of mission. Last week, we heard Paul talk about how we are called to teach and baptize and nurture new believers. And 2 weeks ago, we heard Theo preach about what it might look like to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Over the next 3 weeks, we will think about what it means to live out God's mission in the world. Today, we will think specifically about what it means to respond to human need by loving service, and about what a wee little man named Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus might tell us about how being called into relationship with God helps us live out that mission. I've always loved the story of Zacchaeus. Whenever the story of Zacchaeus comes up in the lectionary, I'm reminded of felt figures and the tune of the familiar children's song that I'm sure we can all hear in our heads. I'm also reminded of a childhood pleasure of mine, which was climbing trees and building tree houses. The fall that I turned 10, I helped my dad and my grandfather build a treehouse in our backyard. Now, we had a good bit of property for being city people, and the very back of our lot had a grove of oak trees on the top of a little ridge. And I had loved climbing trees almost since the day that I had learned to walk. Some of my earliest memories of God were moments when I spent time up in the trees, apart from the world, conversing with the Savior as he passed by. Now, being the oldest of three children in a house with two dogs, two cats, a ferret, a guinea pig, probably a goldfish, and sometimes a partridge and a pear tree, meant that I really didn't get any time alone. And so my time in the trees became an escape. I loved that from my trees and my tree houses, I could see the world, but I didn't have to exactly be a part of it. I could figure out what I should be doing when I was up in those trees. I could figure out how I was supposed to be listening to God calling me, and then I could go back to reality. So up until the fall that I helped build an actual bona fide treehouse, I had never given any thought to the technical specifications of any of the makeshift treehouses that I had played in. I remember the very beginning of the building process being the hardest, because it was the part that really just involved climbing up into a tree and placing that first beam that would hold the weight of the treehouse. It was a sweaty, scraped knee and elbow kind of experience. I know my dad ripped his shirt, and I think I heard my grandfather say a few choice words that weekend, but it was worth it. By the end of the weekend, I had a space that was mine, where I could view the world and escape from the things that I didn't want to deal with. The rest of that fall and for subsequent years after, there were only a few things that could get me out of my treehouse, namely the voice of my mother calling me by name to come inside. Now, in the gospel text today, we hear a story about a specific tree in Jericho and this wee man who wanted to climb it so that he could see the Savior. This past summer, I had the opportunity to spend a day in Jericho while I traveled in Israel. And while I was there, I saw the sycamore trees that the locals say are like the ones Zacchaeus climbed. The sycamore trees that I saw this summer were a lot like the trees in my childhood backyard, tall trees that would make good tree houses, and trees that were strong enough and tough enough that they might rip your shirt as they climbed up. These are the kind of trees that Zacchaeus had to be pretty intentional about climbing. And we hear in our story this morning a lot about intentionality. We hear some specifics about who Zacchaeus was. He was, in fact, short of stature and someone who wanted to see the Savior. We also hear that he is the chief tax collector, a man who probably didn't have too many friends in Jericho. We hear that Zacchaeus was probably about as much the other as a blind man or a leper. And what we hear about in this rather short story are these intentional action sequences. And although the text doesn't use the word intentionality, the most poignant scenes all occur because of an intentional action and then an intentional response. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, so he climbs a tree. Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, so Zacchaeus comes down. Jesus says that he wants to visit Zacchaeus in his house, and Zacchaeus says that he will welcome him with joy. Zacchaeus tells Jesus about how he will care for his neighbor, and then Jesus pronounces a blessing on Zacchaeus. Intentional action, intentional response. In the midst of intentionality and action, we might wonder then, what is the greatest claim of this story? What is the hook? Why would we tell this story about this particular chief tax collector in this town? It's probably not that Zacchaeus was short, even though that's what our nursery rhymes make us remember. And it might be about the fact that he's a tax collector. It might not. But it's also probably not about the grumbling crowd, which we don't really hear too much about. I think it's compelling to think about the fact that the person in this text who interacts with Jesus the most is someone who no one likes very much. And that makes me wonder about us. Are we ever Zacchaeus? And if we think that maybe we could be, then how can we think about Zacchaeus as a model of how we might think about behaving? Can we think of him as a model of individual behavior? I think so. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, so he's intentional about being able to do that, and he responds to the God who calls him by name. What we hear from Zacchaeus in verse 8 is significant. Zacchaeus tells Jesus about all of the things that he has done which will honor God and neighbor. And they aren't global initiatives or grand in scale, but they are a response. Zacchaeus says that he gives to the poor, and that if he has defrauded anyone, he will pay them back more than he owes. So maybe Zacchaeus' words are a response to the grumbling crowd. And maybe his words are meant to justify to Jesus or to himself that even though he's a tax collector, he's worthy of a visit from such an esteemed person. Who knows? The text isn't particularly clear, and I like that, because it leaves us room to wonder about this story for Zacchaeus and about this story for us. We can wonder about the examples that Zacchaeus names and why he does so. And even though we can't know what his particular intentions are, we can know that he serves his neighbors. He tries to make an impact on his little corner near a little sycamore tree in Jericho. But I wonder if the greatest claim in this story isn't about Zacchaeus at all, but about Jesus. After Zacchaeus comes down from the tree and welcomes Jesus into his home, Jesus has these parting words for Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come to this house. So let's imagine for a minute that we are part of that grumbling crowd standing outside of Zacchaeus' house, and we're witnessing what's happening, and we hear these words. In Israelite culture, welcoming someone into your home wasn't something that you just did. Welcoming a guest into your home was an intentional action, reserved for people not who were just important, but for people with whom you had a deep relationship. Can we imagine how radical this act of hospitality is between a tax collector and the Savior? Jesus honors Zacchaeus by visiting his home, and Zacchaeus honors Jesus and welcomes him with great joy. Jesus, who is salvation, is welcomed by a tax collector to the backdrop of a grumbling crowd. If we, like Zacchaeus, want to see God, and if we want salvation to visit us, then we must be prepared to answer the call of God to come out of our trees and into the world. And that is big, hard, sweaty work. Because this story tells us that we can't stay in our trees, that the Christian life is about fundamentally active, not static experiences. And my goodness, that is hard work. By the end of the day or the end of the week, by the time I have scrubbed my kids and my dog and my wood floors, and after I have fed myself and my family, and after I've read and studied and discussed and written this sermon, how do I carve out time for that kind of intentionality? How do I carve out the space to be able to see the God that moves among us? How do any of us do that? I think we do it in community and while we're in relationship with each other. And if we don't see ourselves in Zacchaeus, maybe we can wonder about that crowd. We might be a little convicted about how often we grumble about the people who we name as the other. What if the outcast, the least among us, the sinners, the tax collectors, what if they have something to teach us about how we might see God, or about how we might be in relationship with God, or about how we might respond to human need? If we are intentional about carving out spaces, whether in trees or churches or neighborhoods, that allow us to see the Christ that moves among us and calls us by name, we too will see the Savior. And that's salvation. And just like Zacchaeus, seeing the Savior and being called by name will move us to respond. Each and every one of us are called by name by the incarnation of God who lives and moves in this world. We climb trees, and if we are intentional about listening and seeing, we hear the voice of the God that calls us by name, and we are moved out of those trees, and we are moved to go and be in the world with God. We are called by name and loved by a God who decided to show us how to live by coming to live among us. God got out of the tree and chose to live with us, showing us how we are to be in relationship with one another and the world that God so loves. So may that God who calls us out of the tree continue to do so. And may we respond by intentionally interacting with the world and serving with love. Amen.